Acts chapter 1 in your Bibles this morning. I want to say, first of all, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. If you're a mother, if you're willing to, please, would you stand? We'd like to give you a round of applause. All the mothers. Amen. Thank you very much. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. My wife and I have 4 children, and now we have 13 grandchildren. And we know the labor that ladies put in. And so not only do we celebrate Mother's Day and pay special recognition to mothers, but we also recognize the labor and involvement of women totally in the church. Even those without children are great laborers in the church. And the church could not survive without the women of the church to do the ministry that they do. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. We never forget that Sunday is first and foremost the Lord's Day. We honor and glorify God. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us and rose again from the dead. And we exalt the Word of God. And that's Sunday, the Lord's Day, the day He rose from the grave. And that's why we celebrate Sunday in church instead of the Sabbath that the Old Testament celebrated on Saturday, or actually Friday night at sundown until Saturday night at sundown. And when Christ rose from the grave on Sunday, the disciples began to meet on the Lord's Day for church. Verse 2 says, until the day which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Christ died, rose again from the dead, and then he appeared to the disciples and to all the believers for 40 days. Then he ascended back into heaven. And it was 10 days that the early believers met together, 120, waiting for the feast of Pentecost that was to come when the Holy Spirit would come to begin to indwell believers. The Holy Spirit is eternal. He's always been. He came upon men, prophets and kings, and they were anointed with oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul as king and blessed him, but he had a battle when the Spirit of God was not there upon him because of an evil spirit. And so there was not a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit prior to the Feast of Pentecost after the resurrection from the dead. And then the Spirit of God began to indwell believers. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you, and you are forever different from what you were before you got saved. Thanks be unto God. Now I want you to look at verse 13 and 14, if you would, in Acts chapter 1. The Scripture says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, not Judas Iscariot. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. John explains that Jesus' brethren, his relatives, did not believe in him until the resurrection from the dead. Now the resurrection has taken place, and Christ has told the men, his disciples, to go to Jerusalem and to the temple and to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And these 120 have gathered together with the women and with Mary his mother, and with all of his brethren, they became believers. For 10 days they met in prayer, and waited on the coming of the Holy Spirit. I ask you today, where would the church be today without godly ladies and women of prayer and the mothers who raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Mothers who raise their children to be Christians and to pray and to go to church and to live for Jesus Christ. Women were the last to leave the cross when Christ was crucified. They were the first to come to the tomb after he was buried. They came early that Sunday morning, but the stone was rolled away and he was risen from the dead just as he had said. And so those women went to tell his disciples that Christ was risen from the dead. They were the first to witness of the resurrection. Lydia was the first convert to Christianity from those of Europe when Paul took the gospel there and Lydia was baptized with her household and a church was established because she was a woman of prominence and a seller of purple. And she had a family and employees, and these came to know the Lord, and a church was established. There were churches in the homes in those days and time. The home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, had a church in her home. In Acts 12, in verse number 2, you'll remember that they beheaded James, the disciple, and they arrested Peter and put him in prison, expecting to behead him. And the church gathered in John Mark's mother's home and prayed for Peter. And God sent angels to release him from 16 soldiers in the middle of the night and opened the doors of the jail and dropped off his chains from him. And he was freed and he went to the house to knock on the door and tell him he was freed. And they thought it was his spirit rather than him himself. That all happened at the home of a woman by the name of Mary who raised her son to be a disciple of Christ. Priscilla and Aquila were a husband and wife team who worked together making tents. And that was the same trade that the Apostle Paul had. And so he would help pay for his team to take the gospel to foreign places by making tents as a craft or a trade. And he met these people, and they were believers in Christ. And the Bible says they laid down their necks for him to save the life of the Apostle Paul. If you want to turn with me in Romans chapter 16, Paul closes the book of Romans by mentioning a lot of people whom he gives thanks for because of their labors for the Lord. And Priscilla and Aquila are in this list. Verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So they had a house church also. He commends another woman named Phoebe, who is a servant of the church. She has bestowed labor on the church at Cenchrea. In Romans 16 and verse 6, he says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor upon the apostles." These men travel from place to place to place, often without money or supplies. And whosoever home they came to that would bid them welcome and feed them, they would pray God's blessing upon that household. But if they were rejected, he taught his disciples to shake the dust off their feet as a witness against those who rejected the servants of the Lord. In chapter 16 and verse 12, Paul salutes three women. You young ladies who may give birth at some time, you need to remember these two names for your children. People often struggle on what to name their children. If you have twins, you can name them Tryphena and Tryphosa. And that means delicate and dainty. We believe these were twins and were girls. And he salutes them for their labor for the Lord. Also mentions another woman who very probably is Persian, like from Iran. Her name is Persis, beloved. Now, you know, you cannot build a church in any generation without the labor and help of workers and servants. And there are roles for men and women in the church of Jesus Christ. The church must have a good nursery where mothers feel safe in placing their babies. Babies don't know they're supposed to be quiet in church. I've had competition a number of times in 42 years while preaching, while the child was crying and having a hard time that day, and the mother's in the middle of the pew, and it took a while for her to get the baby and to step out and maybe step out the door or take the baby to the nursery. And that has disturbed a lot of people from hearing and concentrating and letting the Holy Spirit work in their heart with the Word of God because of the noise and distraction that could be taking place. Now, if a mother wants to keep her child in the service, we don't have any problem with that. And especially until babies get up to a certain point in life that they feel more comfortable with them staying with someone beside them. We need ladies for that job. We need ladies for the toddlers. We need ladies in the kindergarten class. And ladies can teach children. They can teach the primary and the juniors. My wife, how long have you taught the junior kids Sunday school class? 40 years at least. Miss Cindy, how long have you been a teacher? Okay. And you see, these, without laborers like this, we can't have the expansion of ministries. And if the church grows, we may need two of those classes or three of those classes for those age groups. And at times we have a lot of kids in the same age category. Juniors and then teens. We have a full-time man on staff of the church because it is so vital to minister and to teach teenagers while we have that last opportunity before they graduate from high school and either go off to college or go out in the workforce, or you're not supposed to, but get married. You know, some of them do that. I know that because I married a girl that was a senior in high school. I was 17 when I went into the Marine Corps, and when I came back from Vietnam, I called Joy in Boone, North Carolina, and we had plans to get married, and I had to get married when I could get a leave from the Marine Corps. I couldn't just get one anytime I wanted it. And I got a 10-day leave, and she still had 3 weeks of high school left. So we went on our honeymoon after we got married, and then I took her back and dropped her off at school, and I had to go back to Camp Lejeune, you know. And it's possible. I don't advise that. I wouldn't encourage young people to do that. But remember this, we were unsaved when we got married. And we didn't know the spiritual things. But about 4 years later, God in His mercy and His grace saved us together as we visited a church. And we've been growing together since that time. Now, this month, 50 years we've been married. I know we don't look it, but you know... But we thank God for that. At the bare minimum, it takes about 7 or 8 ladies in the nursery and the kindergarten and the primary and the junior class. And then we want ladies like Brianna influence with the girls in the teen department. We want them to see adult women who live for God and serve God and who can feel comfortable as a chaperone helping them in the church services. Ladies are a must and a plus, and they do labor that no one else can do. Miss Sue teaches a ladies' Bible study class at 10 a.m. They've been members here for a lot of years, and that's a vital class that we wanted, that we were able to get started, and she's a godly woman, a mother who has influence, and she has experience. And she's a good teacher, and we're so thankful to have a ladies' Bible study class at 10 a.m. Then we have junior churches. We have up to 3 junior churches, depending on the age categories of the kids, and it takes workers in those. In the evenings, we've had classes for the kids with music and Bible study lesson while the preaching service is ongoing that Miss Nanette and Miss Diane have worked with for years. We have choir. We're still going to have choir today?
Not today.
Not today. Oh, that's right. We don't have service tonight. Oh, y'all, aren't y'all lucky? Boy, no service tonight because normally on Mother's Day we'd have a dinner right after service. And with the COVID and with the fact we don't have an ice machine and we got to replace a lot of workers, we'll have a dinner sometime soon coming up, but we'll try to get it planned. I actually ordered a new ice machine this week, and it'll take a couple of weeks, but they'll get it in. And we need laborers to help with a dinner. And we've had a lot of folks, Libby and Faye and Darla and Lynn Ross and Daryl Ross, and all those folks are not able to do those things now. And so we've got to have some workers to replace them to be able to have a nice dinner for the church. But choir practice is for Sunday morning. We practice on Sunday night and sing usually Sunday night and then again on Sunday morning. And we're just now, because of COVID, getting back to practice to get started back with singing as a choir. And ladies are a vital part of that choir. Men sing in the choir, and our church has a good representation of men who sing. I had some folks visit the church one time, and they said, do you require the men of the church to sing in the choir? And I said, no, we don't require it. They volunteer and sing. And they said, well, we've been in churches where they didn't have a man involved in it at all, you know. And I said, yeah, sadly, that's the case. And women quite often have to take leadership positions that they normally would not be in because a lack of men who are spiritual that will step up and take those positions. Miss Carol Hedrick was faithful to help out when she was here, and she's moved now with her family, and we miss her. My wife of 50 years has been a nursery worker, a junior class teacher, junior church when it was necessary. She works in Master Club every week on Wednesday night. She sings in the choir. She prepares food for funeral services and for dinners that we have and all that sort of thing. She's been an unpaid staff member all these years that I've been the pastor of the church. In the first service where this church met as a brand new church, I had visited in the community a month, and we had our first service, and we had 9 people come in addition to our family. And we had a couple of very small ones in those days. And my wife spread a blanket at the back of the room we used in the hotel where we started. And she put the little kids back there, and I preached to everybody else in the congregation. And she's been a part of that all these years. We're thankful for the labor and the service to the Lord that ladies and mothers provide in this church. Today we pause to salute them and to show our appreciation and to say thank you for serving the Lord. Ladies who labor and who work in their home and often jobs and are givers to the church and then come and help out in the ministry of the church. The hope for these younger girls in this church doesn't lie in a great preacher. It lies in the influence of godly women who can influence the younger girls. Titus chapter 2, this is a biblical pattern that God has laid down. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5, it's in front of Hebrews, and I've got Hebrews, I'm going to get there. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 3 of chapter 2 of Titus. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women or the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then it goes on with the roles of the men and young men. The women have a role for God in service, and the requirement is that they have godly behavior, and they can influence the younger women coming up. In all the cycles that we've gone through in these 42 years of fads and dress and piercings and tattoos and everything that's taken place in our society, all of that is an influence on the youth of the church. But godly women can have a greater influence on those younger women than a man could ever have, because they know what it is to be a woman and to have that influence. Many women work like Ruth, who labored in the fields to feed her mother-in-law. Like Lydia, who was a seller of purple, who ministered to missions and a church in her home. Like Priscilla, who labored with her husband in making tents and then had a church in their home. Ladies who witness to other ladies, who share with them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies who invite others to come to church and even give somebody a ride. Kristen sits back there and got those kids in the pew with her on Wednesday night. She carries so many kids, we sometimes worry that she's got more load in her car than she's supposed to have. Not enough seat belts, you know. And she brings those kids to the Master Club class, and she's been faithful to do that for a long time. Ladies who pray, ladies who work and give of their income a tithe to the Lord and support missions. If it were not for the ladies' involvement in the church couldn't function if we only had men involved in the labor of the work. Now, back in the early church, the 120, the Bible says they were in one accord in prayer. They were together. They were in harmony about their purpose, and their reason for gathering was the Lord Jesus had commanded them to go and wait for the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they were faithful to do that. Women who can get hold of the hem of the garment of Jesus to get help in their hour of need and to get help for their children. The Bible says in Matthew 15 and verse 21 through 28, it tells a story about a woman who was called a Syrophoenician. She was of this area of the world, and that meant that she was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. But early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, she found out about Him and came to Him. Matthew 15 and verse 21 says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That's a term they use to describe the Gentiles from the Jews. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Ladies, can you get hold of God like that? Can you reason with the Lord, obeying His will, but asking for help and get an answer to prayer in the way this woman did? She was not even a Jew, but she had greater faith than all those who were still unbelievers in Israel who didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah and the Lord. She knew Christ somehow. Someone told her of Him. Maybe she had seen Him heal and cast out demons. And she begged for help for her daughter who was demon-possessed. I promise you, if you've got children, you'll wet your pillow praying for God to intervene if their life gets out of line with what you've taught them and the example that you have set for them. God help these two ladies that have asked our church to pray for their sons having battles with alcohol. And these are grown men, and they need deliverance from that addiction and help from God to turn away from that. I was a very heavy drinker all my young adult life until I got saved. And when God saved me, He took the taste away. I went home and poured out everything I had by the grace of God. That was over 45 years ago, and I've never had another drop touch my lips. The closest thing that's ever happened was a NyQuil. And then they took the alcohol out of NyQuil and inserted a drug instead of alcohol. And so my children have grown up. Our oldest was a year old when we got saved. And so our children have never seen us in the home using alcohol and the influence of alcohol causing us to use bad language and lustful desires and all the things that go along with alcohol drinking. Baptists ought to be teetotalers. We ought to be people who separate ourselves from that and see the sinfulness of what it really is. Now, this woman had great faith, and she got what she asked for, even being not a Jew, but a Gentile. And our faith needs to be strong like this woman. In 2 Kings, it tells us about the great woman of Shunem and how the prophet Elisha went to this place passing through. And the woman said, "I perceive that this is a man of God. Husband, let us make him a room and put him a little desk and a bed and a table and a lamp, and he can pause here and rest and take his meal when he's journeying to go to the king or his business." And so the prophet sent for the woman. He sent his servant Gehazi. He said, "Ask this woman what she wants. Does she want to be spoken to the king? Does she want me to speak to the captain of the host of the king's army? What is her desire for doing these things for us?" And the servant said, "Master, she has no child, and her husband is up in age." And so he told her, "About this time, a year from now, you'll give birth to a son." And the woman was shocked, and she said, "Please don't lie to me about something like that." And the prophet assured her, and a year later she gave birth to a son. Later, as the child grew, he cried out with his headache, and he fell down, and his father sent him to his mother. Quite often, dads know children need a mother, and they know when they need their mother. And she would care for him with sickness or illness, and so he sent him to his mother and sent for the prophet of God to come. But the child had died. When the prophet got there, through the power of God, he raised him from the dead. This woman got a son twice. The first, a miraculous birth. Secondly, raised from the dead and given back. And all of these are types of the miraculous virgin birth of Christ and the resurrection from the dead. This was a great woman of Shunem. Later, the prophet said, "Leave the area, go sojourn, because there's going to be a famine upon the land." And she took her family and went away. She was gone 7 years while the famine was in the land. And when she returned, her property had been taken. And she appealed to the king to restore her lands and property. And Gehazi, the servant, who said, "The woman hath no child," spoke to the king and told him all that had happened with Elisha. And the king restored not only her lands and property, but all the years that she had been gone, the value of what the property had been worth during that time was restored unto her. These are just some stories in the Bible about women, about mothers, about the influence that God uses women in a great and mighty way. There's one bad story I almost hesitate to mention. In 1 Kings 14, there was a wicked man by the name of Jeroboam. He was a king over the northern tribes. And he sent his wife to Ahijah the prophet because their son had become very ill. And he said, take him a gift and bring him these morsels of bread and things, supplies that take to him. And he didn't say, ask him to heal the child. He didn't say, seek God on the child's behalf. He said, tell us what's going to happen. He wanted the prophet as a seer to tell him the future. And God used the prophet to tell him. Before the woman ever came to knock on his door, God said to the prophet, who was blind, Jeroboam's wife is coming, and she has disguised herself as another woman. And she's going to ask about the child and tell her the child will die. And so, heavy tidings, bad news. And this is what the prophet said. Your husband has done evil above all before him. Idols and images brought into the land. He has provoked God to anger. He's turned his back on God. And all his house is going to die. And the dogs will eat their bodies. And those that the dogs don't eat, the fowls of the air will eat. And when you return to your city, the child will die. He said, but only that child of Jeroboam's household will have a proper burial because of his wickedness. But God saw some good thing toward the Lord through this child so he would be honored and mourned by the nation of Israel and have a proper burial, though the rest of Jeroboam's house would not. Now let me say to you, ladies, be who you are for God. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to disguise yourself. Be who you are. You say, preacher, are you saying we shouldn't wear nice clothes or put on makeup? No, I'm not saying that at all. I think an old barn looks a lot better with a fresh coat of paint on it, you know, than what it does in aging. You improve your beauty with those things. I don't see a thing wrong with that. But I'm saying that there are extremes in those things, and our testimony to man should not be the clothes we wear and the jewelry we put on and the makeup we wear, but a meek and quiet spirit for God is what God will respect. May God bless the women of this church, godly women, servants of God, who gather in prayer and supplication on behalf of others, who get hold of God for their children, who find favor with God and the king because of their faithfulness, like the great woman of Shunem, who got insight into what was about to happen to be prepared for it. And may God prepare your hearts as you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And may this church be a place that you will choose because of its relationship with God and with the Word of God. And you bring us honor by being a part of the church here. Father, we thank you today for the women of this church. We thank you for the mothers. We thank you that you have honored them in the Bible. And Lord, we exalt you today in your word. For our hope for our future to live for you and serve you is all bound up in what the Bible teaches us. Help us to be people of faith like this Syrophoenician woman had great faith, and she got her answer to prayer because of it. So we seek you today. Pray that you'll save any that are lost, watching on live streaming, or are here in the service. And Lord, that you'll be glorified in everything that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.